Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to have you as part of my day, and it's an honor to be part of your day. You're going to be glad you hung out with us today, too, because Jim Ballard is in the building. Jim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know, the author of a number of books, including Mind Like Water and What's the Rush, among others. And his new book is called Little Wave, Old Swell. Is that right, Jim?
Yeah, that's it.
Little Wave, Old Swell. Hey, Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, thank you.
Yeah, that's the new one, and it's a good one, too. Little Wave, Old Swell. Jim, it's good to have you back. And, you know, one of the things that I always appreciate about you is you're always looking for ways to help us deal with life, deal with other people, deal with ourselves. And you always have some great ideas on how we can improve the quality of our lives through the way we deal with other people.
And the way that we monitor ourselves, that we deal with ourselves. I'm a great fan of self-control, self-improvement,
self-analysis,
all of that stuff, because it all goes on inside, you know, and then it works out. So many of us are focused 24/7 on the outer world that we kind of get behind in paying attention to what's going on inside. So I'm for that balance, restoring the balance.
And you always do a great job. You know, you were talking about we're so focused on the world and all that, but mostly we're focused on us, and we're on the outside looking at us instead of really getting on the inside and looking outward. But many years ago, probably 30 years ago, I hate this, it seems crazy to say that long ago, but it probably at least 30 years ago, I was taught how to do self-analysis with regard to my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And that really changed my life, Jim.
Yeah, and that was a lot more popular then, I think, than introspection and all that than it is now, just because of the speed up of change. You know, people are running faster and hitting the ground running, and you know, there's less time. So I'm always one for restore that sacred space, that time when you're alone and you think and you say, where am I going? What does it all mean? Am I on the track I want to be on? And having ways to look at that and to check with yourself. And one of the things I'd like to talk about today with you, Jim, as you know, we talked about it before, is what used to be called unconditional positive regard, and that is the notion of looking at the best that's in people. That has such power that I would like to share and have you maybe share and have listeners think about a time when somebody looked at the best in you, saw only the best, even if you were aware of the faults and the mistakes and errors, that somebody just believed in you and saw your best. And what effect did that have on you?
Unconditional.
How did you feel, and what did you do as a result of it?
Unconditional positive regard.
Yeah.
Is that your term?
I think that goes back to Carl Rogers or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I remember that it came up for me when I was thinking about our talk this morning, because I haven't thought of that phrase for a long time, but it used to be around.
Right.
And it seems to name what I want to talk about.
So how do we get ourselves into that condition?
I'm sorry?
How do we get ourselves into that kind of a mental attitude?
Yeah, I think that's what we want to talk about eventually, is how do we come to have that for other people. But first of all, I'd like to share just briefly. There was a guy in my past, this is decades ago, when I was working as a trainer with teachers, and I ran into this fellow who had developed a program for use in the classroom around social-emotional growth of kids. It wasn't a problem-solving thing. It was just a way to include in the curriculum the kinds of growth and understanding and knowledge that are usually left out in school. And so I watched him work with some students to do this little thing we used to call the magic circle, where you sit around and you put out a cue like something I'm scared of, or something I'm proud of, or if I have three wishes, or, you know, there were hundreds of these cues. And then every kid in the circle gets a turn to tell, and there's a lot of listening that goes on. So after I watched him do that, he said, "Why don't you take over the next time that we were together and we were working in a school with the teachers?" So, you know, I stepped in there and I did a demonstration for the teachers with it and talked about it. And then he and I got together and he said, "You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I just like the way you do it. As we go on in this, would you be willing to do all these demos?" And I said, "Well, geez, you know, I'm just a rookie at this." He said, no, "I was really impressed with the way you did it." And from then on, that was the tenor of our relationship. This guy he was like a Santa Claus to me. I couldn't do wrong. Everything, and I was just stumbling around in my own eyes. But he made me feel like a winner, a success, right from the start. And so, you know what, in fact, I became sort of the leader of that work in nationwide, and it went on for 3 or 4 years.
So he discovered something in you you didn't even know you had yourself.
Exactly. And that was the way that he was with everybody. He was a psychologist in California, and I think the way that he did his work was just, you know, he'd have a client or a patient, and he'd just see the best in them, and they'd walk away and say to themselves, "Geez, I can do that," you know.
But this wasn't him just manufacturing some compliment. I mean, he would really look for what he could compliment you on.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's
for something. So
that's
it had to be real, didn't it?
He could really see that in me, whereas I couldn't.
Yeah.
And maybe you've had that kind of experience.
Very interesting. Absolutely. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. I told you we'd get some good ideas when Jim joined us. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim Ballard is our guest. He and I will be right back.
Tell me a secret, tell me a lie, tell me the truth if you have to. Say what you see fit, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you. I can feel a new expression on my face. I can feel a growing sensation taking place.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jim Ballard is our guest. He's the author of a number of books, including What's the Rush, including Mind Like Water, including Little Wave and Old Swell, and he and his wife, Dr. Barbara Perman, have written a book called No Ordinary Move. Now, this is a book, folks, if you have aging parents and you're dealing with them right now, or maybe if you're an aging parent and you're dealing with your children who are dealing with you, I can see how it could work both ways. Me being in this category, the former, not the latter, thank God, not yet. I have aging parents or an aging mother at least right now. This book is very important. No Ordinary Move. How to deal with that whole relationship. It's a role reversal type thing, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it's really about relocating aging parents, which so many baby boomer types are doing now. Well,
but that's part of the role reversal
right.
When you have to help them. You know, they used to help you move out of the house. Now you're helping them move out of their house.
Exactly.
So anyway, tell us where the books are available.
Through Amazon, online, mostly They're not in the bookstores.
Yeah. Okay. So check that out. All right, Jim. You got a little experiment you want us to take, right?
I do. You know, I told that story about my friend who believed in me, and I think if a lot of people who are listening could think back, there's probably, we tend to think that we got to where we are by ourselves and our bootstraps, but along the way there was somebody who believed in you, and it might even, as in my case, have led to a career or the present job you have, or somebody inspired you by their example or their mm-hmm. belief to get into the work that you're doing. And now I want to talk about what is it that small business owners, bosses, managers, parents, teachers, coaches, those people who have people who are coming up under them, employees and students and children, how can they see only the good in people? Because a lot of times when we're under pressure and we're running a business, we tend to see the problems, you know, and we're critical of people and judgmental and so on. We don't even want to be, but we're in such a hurry and under such pressure.
Well, Jim, when they do something right, we say, well, that's what we're paying them to do.
Yeah, exactly.
When they do something wrong, well, that's a real glaring example of something we got to fix.
And we call it to their attention, and we make a lot out of it. And that's sort of the way the world works. Well, you know, what would happen if as a result of listening to your program today, people would go away and they would see only the good in people? That's all that they would see, and so that's all that they would respond to. And then those people would have that experience I was talking about before, where somebody believed mm-hmm. in me, gee, I could do better, and so on.
You know, Jim, let me stop for a second, because I want to amend what you just said. Folks, Jim just said, what if you went away and only saw the good in people? Well, here's what I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. Just do your best today. Next time you look at someone, you know, you don't have to walk around like Pollyanna all the time, but just try to see someone in a good light rather than a bad light. Go ahead, Jim.
Exactly, right. But, you know, what intrigues me is, what if we couldn't see the bad? You know, I heard about a man that people used to talk about him. He's gone now, but they said, you know, he had an eyesight problem. And I said, eyesight problem? And they said, yeah, he couldn't see the bad in people. And so, Jim, I think it's time that we let people in on this, we've got going here.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got a device hooked up to this program, folks, that if you are listening during the time that we beam this out to you, let's call it the beam, the good.
Yeah, we're going to send you a beam, folks. And here's what it sounds like. That's the beam, okay?
Exactly.
We have high-tech sound effects
here. And when we send this out, if you're listening, this beam will actually disengage the part of your brain that judges and finds fault with people. It'll be temporary. It'll probably last half an hour or an hour. But after you get beamed, as you go into interactions with other people, as you think about them, as you talk to them and see them, you will only see their good side.
Right.
And great things could happen as a result of that. In fact, we'd like you to, you know, let us know what happens, because great stories are going to evolve out of this.
And Jim, I also understand that if you do this for at least an hour one day, I think you lose 3 pounds too.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well,
are we ready to send the beam
there's
out?
There's a lot of research still to be done on this beam, but we're going to beam you. So get ready. And remember, what it does is, as a result of being beamed, the part of you that judges and finds fault and criticizes and only sees the bad in people is sort of blinded. Is sort of asleep for a while. And so let's see what happens.
Are you ready for the beam, Jim?
I'm ready.
Here comes the beam, folks. High-tech sound effects we have here on the Small Business Advocate Show. You've just been beamed, ladies and gentlemen. So for at least an hour today, when you look at someone, you should realize that you've been beamed and consider, what did you call it, unconditional positive regard.
That's right. Unconditional positive regard.
I like that.
There are no conditions on the way that you regard this person, and you see only their positive side.
I like that, Jim. Hey, Jim, thanks for sharing these ideas with us today.
Oh, you bet.
And you can lose 3 pounds today, too, yourself.
Thanks.
Me, too. Thanks, Jim. I'll see you next time.
I need it.
Quick break. Right back with Rick Maurer. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Now it's time to go home. Then he makes it fast. One more thing.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.